Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. Drancer will be by a little bit later in the show today. Canucks Talk is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. I'm coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. As mentioned, Durant will be on at noon, from noon to 2 today on the show, as he juggles his job at The Athletic and doing this job as well. So we'll save the whiteboard for noon when Drancer is here with me. Later this hour, 11:30, Dan Riccio from Canucks Central will pop by for a chat. Also later in the show, our guy Sean Gentile from The Athletic at 12:30. Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and Ingle Magazine will join us at 1. So we got a lot going on today, and maybe a little bit of impatience setting in, right? The rest is nice. The practice time is nice, but man, it would be nice if this series was getting going tonight. Instead, we got that extra day. We got that extra day to analyze, to argue, to yell, to pull our hair out thinking about what's going to happen in this series against the Edmonton Oilers when it does finally get going tomorrow night at Rogers Arena. By the way, the Canucks will practice again today at Rogers Arena. I think they'll get on the ice around 11:30, so we'll bring you any updates from practice. And, of course, we'll play any audio we get from Rick Tocchet later on in the show as well, as we do here. All right, so Canucks and Oilers, game one tomorrow at Rogers Arena. We've had a lot of time already to really think about this one, really talk about it, right? We've known it was set since Friday night when the Canucks beat the Preds in game six. And, you know, yesterday Drancer and I went through it in a lot of detail, kind of talked about the reasons Edmonton might have the edge in this series, and certainly they're heavily favored by pretty much any metric you want to use. We also talked about the reasons the Canucks can make this a series and some of the things that could tilt it in their favor and help get the win. And we can continue doing that and breaking it down from that perspective, but I also want to throw this question out to you, and you can text him 650-652, the Dunbar Lumber text line. What are you most excited to see in this series, right? Beyond how you think it's going to go, you know, who you think is going to tilt the balance, what are you most excited to see in this series? Because let's not lose sight. This is a really exciting moment, I think, to be a Canucks fan. Won a playoff round in a real playoff environment for the first time in a long time, for the first time since 2011. And now your reward is you get to go up against a Western Canadian rival, the only other Canadian team remaining, in a big-time matchup in the second round featuring the best hockey player in the world, Connor McDavid. That's a special opportunity. And I think there's a lot to be excited about, a lot to be excited about looking at this second-round matchup between the Canucks and the Oilers. So text in, what are you most excited to see in this series? Let me know, 650, 650. And I'll start. And I was thinking about this a lot, right? Because there's been this big debate about, is it fair to the Canucks to make them the underdog? Why is everyone picking the Oilers? Are they ignoring? Are they disrespecting what the Canucks have accomplished this year, right? What they did in the regular season, all of those things. And I don't care too much about that debate. But, you know, I think one of the reasons why I'm not too fussed about everyone picking against the Canucks, I mean, I don't think anyone's doing it out of like maliciousness, but I'm excited for the opportunity, the really special opportunity that the Canucks have in this series. That's the thing I am most excited about to watch when this does finally get going tomorrow night at Rogers Arena. Because to win this series, I think the Canucks are going to have to show how far they've come in the Rick Tocchet school of hockey. Because that's really what's been going on here for, you know, over a year at this point. Remember early in Rick Tocchet's tenure, he took the team back to hockey elementary school for a practice, right? This was like maybe a couple weeks on the job, and it was literally a practice where he's blowing the whistle dead and moving guys into the right spot in the defensive zone. That was as back to basics as it gets for an NHL team. That was grade school hockey practice for Rick Tocchet. And really, since that moment, the Canucks have been advancing through the curriculum of the Rick Tocchet School of Hockey, right? They took some baby steps last year at the end of last season, finished strong. Maybe that's like finishing elementary school. Hey, all right, you know, off to a good start there. I think the start this year, getting off to the good start, that's like their high school degree in the Rick Tocchet School of Hockey. You know, the basic foundation for what's coming next. And maybe beating the Preds, maybe that's getting your BA, your undergrad degree. Nice accomplishment, but really what matters is what you do after that. That's not getting you that much on its own. And think about what they've been learning this whole time, what they've been improving on. You know, we're so used to hearing about it now, but it all sounds like cliches. But go back to the buzzwords when Rick Tocchet first came in, right? Structure, the details, the staples, playing predictable hockey, playing for your teammate, meeting pressure with pressure. All of those things that we've learned a lot about over the last, you know, 15, 16 months watching this team, watching Rick Tocchet. You add all that up, that's what we now call Canucks hockey. Drance and I have started to use that phrase a lot on this show because we understand what it is. We don't have to go, I mean, and when I say we, I mean everyone watching, right? Our listeners, the fans, we all have a very clear vision now of what Canucks hockey is. And what I find so compelling about this series is that, yes, they're the underdog. Yes, Edmonton are the heavy favorites, but the Canucks can absolutely beat the Oilers if they play the best version of Canucks hockey possible. They need to be the best version of themselves to get this series win. And I think that's just a really cool opportunity to have in front of them, right? To have a very, very tough test against a really good team and an exceptional all-time player, but know that you can do it if you tie everything together that you've been working on, that you've been learning from Rick Tocchet since he became your head coach. Really, this needs to be the PhD thesis of Canucks hockey in this series. That's what they need to put out there in order to get past the Edmonton Oilers. They need to tie everything together that they've learned under Rick Tocchet, show us their highest level yet that we've seen from this Canucks team. And if they do that, guess what? They'll notch a massive upset, and they will rightly get tons of praise, tons of respect from all around the hockey world. If they're able to put that level of Canucks hockey out there through the course of a best of seven series. And I think it's worth thinking a little bit about what does that highest level of Canucks hockey look like in this series, right? Because I think we always think of it as structure in the defensive zone. And hey, that's important. Don't get me wrong. That's hugely important. That was really the first thing that Rick Tocchet needed to fix when he took over this team, was the structure in the defensive zone. We all remember what it looked like under Bruce Boudreau. It was ugly. It was really, really ugly. And that's why Tocchet had to take them all the way back to hockey grade school when he got here. He had to fix that before he got to anything else, was the structure in the defensive zone, and they've become excellent at it. You could argue that it won them the series against Nashville, was avoiding those breakdowns in the defensive zone, getting sticks in lanes, protecting the guts of the ice, all of it. They were phenomenal at doing that against Nashville. So that is hugely important. But again, now that the competition is moving up another level, defensive zone structure, that's not going to be enough. It's important. You have to do that at a really high level against Connor McDavid and the Oilers, but that's going to be enough. And that's what I mean by saying, you know, they have to play the highest version possible of Canucks hockey. It's going to have to be Canucks hockey in all three zones. Yes, in the defensive zone, you need your structure. But I think back to what we heard from Rick Tocchet yesterday. He was already stressing, you know, the importance of the neutral zone. We've all seen how Connor McDavid can absolutely slice through a team in the neutral zone with his speed, his vision, his ability to carry the puck. You can't skate backwards against him, right? How many times have we heard Rick Tocchet stress that? Don't skate backwards. Meet that pressure with pressure. You have to pressure him. And in this situation, in this series, if you give him even an extra inch of ice, you're dead, as Rick Tocchet likes to say, as they covered on the morning show this morning. So you got to do it in the defensive zone, but you got to be sharp in the neutral zone, right? You have to be absolutely locked in. Everyone has to be doing their job in the neutral zone and even in the offensive zone. As Tocchet said yesterday, again, you have to be sharp. You have to be smart. You have to be playing Canucks hockey. Don't take those dumb shots. Don't just shoot it into the shin pads of a forward from the point and create a loose puck and give McDavid a chance to build up ahead of steam. You have to be paying attention to those details at all times against this Oilers team. You got to be playing Canucks hockey all over the ice. in all three zones for 60 minutes. Put all that together at a high level. That's what they need to do in this series. The team needs to show how far they've come. They need to put all of Rick Tocchet's teachings together. And again, they can do that. They can 100% accomplish that. Will it be easy? No. Not much is easy at this time of year once you get to the second round of the playoffs. But the fact that it's hard, that's no reason to get discouraged. That's no reason to, you know, be a doomer about it. That just means it's going to be even more worth celebrating if they are able to get the job done. And I think about this generally applying to the team, right? Showing what they've learned, putting it all together, reaching that peak version of Canucks hockey. That applies to the team, but I think it applies also to one player in particular. And there's a lot of, you know, guys we can kind of point to as key players in this series. Obviously, Elias Pettersson needs to get going. The goalie, Artur Shelov, Quinn Hughes, I would say MVP of the team. But when I think of one player who kind of embodies how far this team has come under Rick Tocchet, it's JT Miller. Just look at how JT Miller has played as a two-way responsible center this year versus how it looked at times for JT Miller under Bruce Boudreau. It's a night and day difference. He's not the only player who's really thrived or who's really improved aspects of his game under Rick Tocchet. Of course, Rick Tocchet's had a phenomenal impact on pretty much the entire team. But when I think of one player to kind of sum up where they were when Tocchet got here and where they are now, it's JT Miller. And the exciting thing for JT Miller is, well, now he gets to put that those defensive chops, all that progress that he's shown, that ability he's shown under Rick Tocchet, he gets to put it up against the best player in the world in Connor McDavid. And again, that should be not a reason to be discouraged, not a reason to get angry, to get worried. That should be a exciting opportunity for all Canucks fans. I guarantee you that's how JT Miller's looking at it. What an opportunity. What a thrill to get to do it against the best of the world. And I know, look, hey, this is the second round. It's not the Stanley Cup Finals. I know the Canucks have much bigger goals than just beating the Oilers, than just beating the Connor McDavid. I don't want to say that it's the be-all, end-all. But from an individual perspective, there's no better stage for JT Miller to reach his highest level than doing it against Connor McDavid in the Stanley Cup playoffs as the underdog. And again, it's not going to be easy. But if they get it done, that only makes it that much more impressive, right? I really think, you know, this is ultimately why we watch sports, to watch people rise to the moment, to rise to the occasion, to become the best versions of themselves, to push the limits, to do things that we weren't sure they were capable of, right? That is at the root of so much of why we love sports. And the Canucks have a chance to do that in this series. Yeah, they're the underdog, but that just adds fuel to the fire. JT Miller has a chance to do it. The Canucks have a chance to do it against the Edmonton Oilers. I can't wait to watch to see what they get to do, to see if they can rise to the moment. It's going to be special. It's going to be special if they do. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Lots of thoughts coming in here. This one says, I'm excited, anxious to see the Canucks D-Core shut down the Oilers' elite forward talent. That's from BGB. I agree with you, right? And I think one of the strengths for the Canucks in that Nashville Predators series was they didn't have a defensive pairing they were nervous about putting out there, right? Obviously, Hughes Hronek you're comfortable with. Zadorov, Cole, they leaned on a lot. And even Susie Myers didn't have their best series, I didn't think, but had big moments. I mean, Myers, obviously, the shot block at the end of game six. You're not scared. You weren't scared about putting them out there. That has to be the case in this series, right? That defensive reliability from the big four, as Rick Tocchet likes to call them, even though they're really, you know, numbers 3 through 6 on the depth chart, they're all big fellas. They're all experienced. They're all tough customers. They have to maintain that level of play. Again, not going to be easy to do, but they have the structure. They have the tools to do it. And I agree with BGB, man. If they are able to do that, if they are able to shut down a lot of that elite forward talent, at least at 5-on-5 for the Oilers, man, what a story that is going to be. Cole in Ontario says, I would like to see Thatcher Demko return. Canucks play possession, shut down McDavid and co. And he says, you know, I'm not asking too much. That's from Cole in Ontario. I get the Demko return. I mean, what a story that would be, right? if this series, we'll get into more of some of the latest reporting out there on the whiteboard on Thatcher Demko and what his timeline could be for this series. But if you're just talking about spectacle, you know, think about Thatcher Demko leading his team onto the ice in a game 7 at Rogers Arena. Like, it doesn't get much more spectacular than that. So I completely understand that answer. As to the rest of it, you know, the Canucks playing a possession game, I think that's a really fascinating answer from Cole, because I think that's how it's going to have to look. I don't think you can sit back in your own zone and invite the Oilers to come at you and just rely on your defensive structure and kind of cross your fingers and hold on. You have to play as much of this series as possible in the Oilers' end of the rink. Again, I think that's what Rick Tocchet was getting at when he said, you know, don't take those stupid shots. A shot that misses the net from a bad angle, that's basically a turnover. Hey, it's great. You got a shot attempt. That's awesome. And hey, maybe you even get a shot on goal and we can get over 30 shots on goal this game and it looks good. But if it's just ending up with Edmonton getting the puck, that's not a smart play. And we've seen the Canucks be so consistent when they're at their top of their game, right? When they are playing peak Canucks hockey, what do? They cycle. They get it in the offensive zone. They wear teams down. They look for that mistake. They look for that opening. They have to find, I think, even another new level of that patience, of that heaviness on the puck, of that willingness to simply hold the puck in the offensive zone. I don't even want to call it conservative, right? Because I think that implies that you're doing it out of fear almost. But I think you're doing it because that's the best way to neuter what Edmonton does best, is hold the puck in their zone. That possession game. Possession game is absolutely going to be key in this one, as Cole from Ontario says. By the way, people taking a little bit of issue with my education, my school metaphor here. So this person texts in, this is the Masters, the PhD is the conference finals. That's fair. Look, I didn't want to get too ahead of myself. As I said, I know this isn't the ultimate goal, but I just think they're going to have to hit that peak level here in this series. But you're probably right. PhD, maybe even the Stanley Cup finals. Maybe that's postdoctoral work. I don't know. I was out of school by that point. I don't really know how all of that works once you get past that bachelor's degree. Keep texting in. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What are you most excited to see in this series? Northern Mark says, I'm very excited to see McDavid get ran over by Big Zed, Nikita Zadorov, and then Kane go after Zadorov. That's from Northern Mark. And again, we talked about it a little bit on the show yesterday, but that's going to be another fascinating subplot in this series, is the very fine line that the Canucks have to walk between playing physical, getting under the skin of Edmonton's best players, and yes, as Northern Mark says, provoking some of the undisciplined players on the other side for Edmonton, right? You want to do that. That has to be a feature of their game, but you have to stay just on the right side of the line so that you're not feeding Edmonton's power play. And that's a tall order. That's not easy to do, especially with NHL reffing, right? You never know what they're going to decide to call. You never know what they aren't. So there's an element of risk there. If you can pull it off, if you can be on the right side of that line, I think that could absolutely be an edge for the Canucks in this series. But it's up to Zadorov. It's up to Joshua. Guys like Tyler Myers and Carson Soucy, who, you know, don't have that same meanness to their game, but are big, can be physical, but also sometimes, especially in the case of Tyler Myers, prone to taking penalties. They've got to find that line. They've got to thread that needle of being physical, punishing the Oilers as much as they can without just turning it into a parade to the penalty box, because we all know what's going to happen. You can have the best penalty. The Kings did have the best penalty kill in the league, and look what happened to them against the Oilers. You absolutely cannot end up with that. This text comes in, and I think it's a good point. What worries me is that the Kings hockey was also defensively structured, and they got destroyed. Now, it's defensively structured in a very different way, and we don't need to, you know, belabor the 1-3-1 thing that the Kings like to do, but it's a much more passive system than the Canucks. The Canucks are all about defensive structure, but they also want to attack, even in the neutral zone, right? The 1-3-1 is all about kind of letting the other team come to you. What Rick Tocchet wants to do in the neutral zone is attack, force the other team into certain areas, force them to give up the puck. That's very different than what the Kings are doing. So I take your point that, hey, the Kings thought they were all about structure and slowing the game down and all of that. it might be a similar overarching philosophy, but the building blocks of how they accomplish it, very, very different from what the Canucks do. So I don't think that means the Canucks can't find a way to slow the Oilers down with their defensive structure just because the Kings didn't, because I think the two teams go about it in a very, very different way. 650-650, this one, Connor from Mount Pleasant. Hey, Jamie, I'm most excited for more of those moments you remember for a lifetime. Only one team can win the Cup, but every team playing into May has those moments that you look back on in 10, 20, 30 years and reminisce about. I think the Game 1 experience this year, that stunning comeback in Game 4, are examples of that already happening. It feels good, man. I hear you, Connor. I think you're bang on about that. It does feel good. I would throw the Game 6 Pugh Suter goal and finish into that, kind of memories Canucks fans will have for a long time in a victorious playoff series. But that's kind of the thing. You kind of need to win the series for those moments to really stick around for decades into the future, for them to really be pleasant things you reminisce about with your friends, with your family down the line. Now, I think the plus side, again, of doing it against a really good team and a Western Canadian rival is those moments will burn even brighter if they do win this series. Because Connor's right. We don't know how it's going to play out, but there will be those special moments. And again, this is what I mean about it being an opportunity. Don't run away from the fact that the Oilers are considered the favorites in this. That just amps up the potential rewards. That just makes those potential moments that Connor's talking about even more exciting. The fact that the Canucks are underdogs coming into this series. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Muskoka Mike says, I'm excited to see Petey get going. I believe, Dodd. I believe. Man, what a difference that would make. I was talking about JT Miller, you know, his opportunity to go up against McDavid. If, in fact, that's the role he's used in, certainly wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. What an opportunity that is for him. Well, you want to talk about opportunities. Elias Pettersson has a huge opportunity ahead of him. A huge opportunity ahead of him to completely change how we view him as a playoff player right now. And I'm not, look, I am far, far. I think any discussion of, oh, Petey can't get it on the playoffs is completely, completely premature. No way we should be having that conversation. But I can also tell you that we get texts in like that. Well, Petey has a chance to erase that conversation from the face of the earth if he has a big time performance against the Edmonton Oilers. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, I've seen enough. He's going to do it. Look, he's a fantastic player. He can always find a way to break out. He can always find a way to snap a slump. I'm not going to promise anything, but I know what Muskoka Mike is talking about. If you're getting amped, if you're getting excited, how much would a dominant game one performance from Elias Pettersson do for the belief from this team, for the excitement, for the fan base? That would go more than a long way. That's the kind of thing that could easily tilt this series in the Canucks' favor. All right. Great text. Appreciate it. Keep them coming. What are you most excited to see in this playoff series, round two, against the Edmonton Oilers? I want to hear from you. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. I'll take a break here. Dan Riccio from Canucks Central, he's going to join me, maybe in studio, maybe on the phone. Who knows? We'll see. But either way, Dan Riccio is going to join me next here. It is Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on The People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here live from the Kintech Studio. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center or Arbutus in Vancouver online at DunbarLumber.com. Canucks playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Threadco Print Shop. It's the Lower Mainland's choice for exceptional branded apparel, quality screen printing and embroidery crafted in their new state-of-the-art facility, ThreadcoPrint.com. Joining me now here in studio, as Drance has abandoned me for the first hour of the show. I've made the call to the bullpen,
yeah,
and we got from Canuck Central, my guy Dan Riccio. What's going on, man?
I was enjoying those lo-fi beats. This is focus
we got
time.
Good,
or...
We got good bumper music. Yeah, lo-fi beats to study too. Yeah, we're all studying up on the Edmonton Oilers.
Just watching
right now.
The Oilers tactical changes under Knobloch. I always want to call him Chuck.
I can't avoid it.
I'm like, Chuck. I think Knobloch and I think Chuck.
That's seared into my brain.
I'm sorry, Chris. But
90s baseball fans, it's like, no, you're Chuck Knobloch.
Yeah. Couldn't throw to first base. Couldn't had a stupid batting stance, but whatever.
It was great for the Twins for a few years, to be fair. Before he just fell apart when he got to the Yankees. all right. So, yeah, we can get into some of the, you know, the matchup stuff and all that, but... I threw this out there to the audience in the first segment. Like, what are you just most excited to see in this series? I think there's a lot, right? I mean, it's Connor McDavid in a playoff series, right?
Yes.
And you know what? The point I was making, like, for as much fretting as there has been about, oh, why are the Canucks underdogs? Are they getting enough respect? Like, this is an opportunity, man. They've got a chance to knock off a team that lots of people are picking as their Stanley Cup winner that has, you know, the best player in the world. I think Rick Tocchet has this mentality. I think it's right. Like, embrace that. Embrace being the underdogs because you got a chance to do something special. And for me, that's kind of what stands out. Like, that's what I'm excited to see. Do they rise to that occasion?
The true underdog story. I guess the Canucks are Rocky versus Apollo Creed in this scenario. I find it hilarious that they are as big of an underdog as it seems to be outside of this market. Maybe we're a little too close to the Canucks. And I get it. Yeah, sure. The Oilers are on paper, maybe the better overall team. They obviously have the best player on planet Earth and then another one of the best offensive players on the planet. So you go through that and yeah, you can find a lot of reasons why the Edmonton Oilers are the favorite in this series. But to me, it's, what I'm excited about is that this is kind of, it's kind of like a story as old as the NHL where you have one great defensive team versus one great offensive team and which one of these two is going to win out. Obviously, the Canucks are the great defensive team. Oilers are the high-flying offense. And I know, like, hey, their defensive metrics are great defensively. It's like, well, mainly just because they mostly play offense and they don't have to defend all that much, especially with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on the ice. So, that to me is where this gets interesting because a lot of times, if you go through the annals of NHL history, defense wins championships, as the old cliche goes. And I just wonder how that's all going to play out and how much the Canucks are going to be able to frustrate Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Well, and if you look at the last round, now with the caveat that we all know Nashville, not the talent, does not have the talent that Edmonton does, but.
Don't tell Drance that.
Okay? Look, he loved Nashville.
Drance was making the Predators seem like the 80s Oilers in the lead
but
up to that series.
If you look at what Nashville did in terms of scoring chances, scoring goals in the latter part of the season, they were one of the best teams in the league.
Yep.
And you're talking about that offense-defense matchup, the Canucks defense won that series for them, right? Their defensive zone coverage and just, you know, like the number of shots and chances Nashville was getting way lower than what they were used to in the regular season. Now, again, much harder to do that, I think, when Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl are on the other side. I'm not sure if the Canucks are going to have like a 90% PK against the Oilers like they did against Nashville. But it's that proof of concept, right? Like, hey, taking a team that did a lot of one thing, generating scoring chances in the regular season, and kind of dragging them down into the mud in the playoffs. And you know, I think it just from a story perspective, right? Like, what's the story potential in this series? The point I made in the first segment was, this kind of feels like the culmination of Rick Tocchet hockey, right? Like they started from square one, learning how to, you know, completely reworking their defensive zone coverage and kind of building it from the ground
stops
up.
Stops and starts.
Stops and starts. And now they've advanced. And what I said was, this is kind of like the PhD thesis of Rick Tocchet hockey. Okay, now you have to do it against Connor McDavid in the playoffs.
Yep.
They have a chance to do it. I just think that's a really that should be an exciting thing for them to be like, yeah, this is what we've been working towards. This is why we tore down our structure to the studs and built it back up. It was to give us a chance in series like this.
It's everything that Rick Tocchet believes in is going to be displayed in this series. You know, the Canucks, so much of the early part of the season was really about them frustrating their opponents. And we saw this against Nashville, too. They just weren't able to turn it into counterattacks often enough until, I think, games 5 and 6, really. But frustrate your team, frustrate your opponent enough that they frustrate your opponent enough that they really start to get annoyed and they try to push. They try to go for the home run play. They make a pinch in a bad time. This was like, go back and watch the three games against the Oilers early in the season. This is all it was.
Yeah.
The Canucks playing patient hockey and waiting for the Oilers to commit a person forward or make a bad play with the puck until the ice opened up and bang, an odd man rush going back the other way. Obviously, that's not going to happen with the same kind of frequency here, but I think the same sort of thesis applies. If we frustrate them, if we slow them down enough, if we don't give them the offense that they are so used to having, the Oilers are a team that eventually opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Those holes will open up. Darnell Nurse will make a bad pinch at some point. Cody Ceci, I mean, just look at his playoff track record. When the Oilers have lost in these last two playoffs, it's Nurse and Ceci that are the ones that get exposed the most, and I think the same is going to apply in this series. But if you can get the Oilers into that frustration mode to the point where they're trying to hit that home run on every shift, putting pucks into bad areas, you got to turn those into counterattacks. This is ultimately what Rick Tocchet hockey is all about, and that patient mindset, it did the Canucks wonders in the first round against Nashville. And they're going to have to need it even more so against Edmonton.
And I think that that idea of frustration, right, is make them the frustrated team, but you have to avoid it yourself as well. And I think the interesting part about that is, you know, Rick Tocchet spoke yesterday about don't take stupid shots. And I found that just so fascinating. I've talked about it a lot, but like,
I don't care if we have 12 shots on goal.
Seriously, you just hold the puck. Hold the puck in their zone. Don't give them the turnover that lets them fly through the neutral zone and you know, get an odd man rush. I think that's going to be so crucial. But it's hard to do that. Or I would imagine it's hard to do that in moments against a high-powered team like Edmonton, right? Because it's hard not to have in the back of your head, like, hey, we might need to get 3 or 4 goals tonight. Can, like, okay, I want to shoot. I want to try to make something
happen.
That's
the mindset that will kill them, though.
Exactly, right? Yeah. And I think it's going to be really, really important to just stay in their game, not get frustrated, maybe even if you're trailing, and play that super, super patient style because, again, as you said, it's that mindset, it's those turnovers that are going to kill them.
Game one as the underdog is so, so huge. And if the Canucks don't turn around game one against Nashville, I wonder how the rest of the series goes, right? The 2 goals in 12 seconds or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But game one means everything for an underdog. Because if you can get that one, not only does it give you belief and extend your belief, but it plants a seed of doubt in your opponent. If you win game one on the Oilers, all of a sudden they're thinking, what does this team have on us?
Yes.
Why can't we beat these guys? How do they always come up with the big play in the right moment? All of those question marks that right now don't exist because, yeah, whatever happened in the regular season does not matter. But I think if you win game one, some of those questions creep back into the Oilers' psyche.
Yeah, especially, like, I don't put a lot of stock into the season series, but I think that's one element where it could play a role, is the belief for the Canucks and potentially the frustration and the, just as you said, the, like, what the heck? Why can't we beat this team factor,
like,
for the Oilers?
When Leon Draisaitl doesn't get his way, he's like a kid at Toys R Us, you know? No,
you,
Daddy,
you,
I want the Ninja Turtle!
Are you asking why he's so pissy?
But, like, that's kind of how he gets. And that's when you get under Leon Draisaitl's skin. That's when you're able to take advantage of the Oilers. Maybe he takes a bad penalty because he's not getting the whistle from the refs that he thinks and feels he deserves. Those are the kinds of things that are going to play big in this series. And yeah, if you, I mean, we're all fairly on the same page here that the Oilers on paper are the better team. So you have to win on the edges if you're the Canucks, and those are the kinds of edges that you have to get in this series.
All right, a little bit of breaking news from Canucks practice. They are on the ice at Rogers Arena right now, and our own Brendan Batchelor reporting, Elias Pettersson not on the ice for the Canucks practice. He's under the weather, according to the team. So That means Nils Åman is skating between Nils Höglander and Ilya Mikheyev on the top line. Doubt that will be the case on Wednesday. But look, as much as there's the temptation to kind of panic, right? A potentially key player missing practice the day before game one, under the weather. We'll wait to hear more from Rick Tocchet. You certainly hope that it's just precautionary and that he will be good to go for game one tomorrow. But a little bit of a scare for Canucks fans there. And
are they missing much with the way Pedersen
has
played?
Well, okay, but, I mean, first of all,
I joke.
Wow, Reach.
I joke. Okay,
Mr. Chill. Positivity, Dan Riccio, from the top rope on Pedersen.
So everybody was thinking.
But
it.
They
Come
better
on.
Be missing something, right? Yes. Like, and I'm not, you know, I can't sit here and say, like, oh, those you know, baby steps forward, that means he's going to break out in this Edmonton series. But in all likelihood, he's, again, going to have the softest matchup.
Yeah.
Again, of any of, you know, between him, Miller, and Lindholm, Pedersen's going to have the softest matchup, just like he did in the Nashville series. And I think for the Canucks to have a chance, he's got to make that count in a way he just didn't against Colton Sissons in the Predator series. Like, where are you with Pedersen at this point? Is it like a total wild card? Can you make a case for him breaking out? What do you expect to see from him?
I'm at the point. So forget about his game and where it's at. I looked at it this way. Do the Canucks have pathways to victory over the Oilers if Elias Pettersson has another goalless series?
I mean, short of Archer Shelov's, like,
yeah.
just the legend growing by exponentially, I don't know what they do.
You're not winning another series scoring 8 5-on-5 goals.
Yeah.
You're not. So you can't live beyond this series without Elias Pettersson being closer to the version that we expect of him. Does he have to be, you know, supernova Elias Pettersson that we saw in January? Not necessarily, but he's got to be a lot better than he has been. And to his credit, and people might really come after me because I know what the narrative is around Elias Pettersson, but for as bad as he was in that series and as little production as he had, his two assists in game four on the tying goal for Brock Besser that sends the game to overtime, which the Canucks eventually win and get a 3-1 series lead, and on the winning goal in game six. So while he didn't have a lot of big moments, he still found a way to come up big in those two moments,
mm-hmm.
which were huge moments of the series, obviously. So there is at least a light at the end of the tunnel, somewhat, but that light has got to get a lot brighter than it has been to this point in the playoffs.
And again, you know, as you said, it's difficult to have this conversation, right? Because I think the other thing, you know, you look at his game in game six. If that wasn't coming, if he had played that game, you know, after in a series where he'd already scored a couple goals and been generally playing well, nobody thinks twice about the game he plays in game six. It's just totally unremarkable in every way.
And
right?
game five, he was.
And game five.
Yeah.
But because it's part of a trend and he's like, okay, where is he? He was so poor early in the series. We're picking him apart, right? Even on hockey night, they're like showing all his bad plays in game six, which I understand. But that to me, game five and six was very different from the brutal standard in games one through three, right? You start to see a little bit of turnaround in game four and then in five and six. And now the easy retort is, well, that bar is on the floor. That's way too low. 100% right.
Yeah.
But it's also like he lowered the bar that far. And again, as you said, it's one thing to just be playing kind of inoffensive hockey.
Yes.
But he needs to do so much more than that. He needs to be a difference maker. He needs to punish the Oilers, right? Like, he never made Andrew Brunette and the Preds adjust what they were doing in response to him, right? They never had to, like, okay, shake up the matchups, go to plan B here because Pedersen's killing us. He's got to have that. He's got to have that kind of impact. Like, he's got to put fear into Chris Knobloch and the Oilers in this series.
Well, if you just line up the Oilers, like, yeah, their top six is pretty formidable. But if the Canucks can get back to what made them a huge success in January, and that is having three lines that went, now all of a sudden you've got maybe an edge in this series because, you know, late career Evander Kane playing in a third line role. I mean, there's not a lot there. Even
Corey
though
Perry,
he scored some goals.
Yeah.
There's Corey Perry as well. But the bottom six of the Oilers isn't really, you know, worrying me all that much. But in this series, I think it matters a ton that the Canucks win that bottom six matchup because you're unlikely to outscore Connor McDavid at 5-on-5. So that's an area where if you have Pettersson, Hoglund, or Mikheyev, even going just a little bit, Lindholm, Joshua Garland, the rest of the Canucks lineup sort of falls in line and gives you a bit of an edge. But that doesn't happen if Elias Pettersson is continuing to play the way that he has been. And whatever it is, you know, of course, you know, people call me out for my joke on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. I know Elias Pettersson is still more impactful than Nils Åman, but he is far less impactful than the Canucks need him to be. That's the bottom line. If he gets back to at least some of that, all of a sudden you give Chris Knobloch and the Oilers all kinds of matchup problems.
Yeah, and that's what it has to be, right? And again, it doesn't even necessarily, like, it does have to be goals, but like job one, put the fear of God into Knobloch. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. Be a threat that he feels like he has to adjust to. If you do that, the goals will come. But like, well, do that from shift one.
Like, we talked about Connor Garland being like a non-threat on the penalty kill. Or sorry, on the power play. Well, what's Pettersson right now?
Yeah.
Is he a threat?
No.
They hardly ever get the one-timer off. You know, he hasn't scored a power play goal in forever. He hasn't scored in forever. So it's become an issue where your power play, it's really hard to see it start clicking the way that it did early in the season when they put the Oilers to the sword so often. I mean, how is it ever going to click like that if Pettersson doesn't find a level where he becomes a significant threat again? I can't see it happening until that happens.
And we got people texting in, including Fish Dance, who says EP40 flu game incoming. Somebody else saying Petey's sick. Remember when Michael Jordan was sick? So maybe we're getting the flu game from Elias Pettersson against the Canucks. I will say, for people worried he's not going to be in the lineup tomorrow, I think if that was a likelihood, you would have seen a total lineup juggle at practice, right? Rather than just Nils Åman going in the placeholder, right? Because that to me clearly thinks, okay, we're going to have Petey back, so we're keeping everything the same. We're just giving him the day off, but he'll be good to go for game one. So look, not ideal. You don't love that he's under the weather, but he should be fine. We'll hear more from Rick Tocchet later today, but it certainly looks like he's going to be fine for tomorrow's game. Although, hey, knock on wood, maybe. We'll see. And hopefully it doesn't impact his performance, because there's not a lot lower it can go in terms of impact from what we saw in the first round.
And if you get Pettersson going, maybe Hoglander gets going. And Hoglander and Mikheyev both got better as the series went on. I think that coincided with Pettersson at least being more noticeable in games 5 and 6 from an offensive perspective. But like, all of those things start to fall in line a little bit better. But it comes, like, so many of these storylines in the series come back around to Pettersson.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, how do you win the series without Elias Pettersson? It's very difficult to come up with pathways for that to happen.
No, and you need, you're going to need other guys at the top of their game, right? Like Quinn Hughes, I think, is going to have to be at a higher level than he was against Nashville. Now, he had some incredible moments. I thought games 5 and 6 were his best games. But I think you need to see Quinn Hughes at a higher level and also a lot more of Quinn Hughes, right, in terms of deployment. I think it's going to be 25 minutes plus for Quinn Hughes in this series.
Well, which top pair has a bigger impact, right? Like, these for the majority of the season, Quinn Hughes, Hronek, and Ekholm Bouchard were two of the very best D pairs in the NHL. And I know people in Edmonton would say Ekholm Bouchard was actually the best pair in the NHL. I mean, I guess subjective to your own opinion. They were both incredibly good. Like, still top five pairs in the league, either of them. And both teams have things that can be exposed beyond those top pairs. So who wins that battle on the top pair? I think it didn't really play out like I thought it would in the Hughes versus Josi kind of conversation that we had versus Nashville.
Yeah, it didn't really play out at all, actually.
Yeah. It could play a bigger part here because Ekholm and Bouchard have been incredible
together. Well, and I just think, If part of the game plan, like we've heard from Rick Tocchet, is tilt the ice to Edmonton's end and play that possession game, you need Quinn Hughes out there to do that. Like, he's the player more than any other player, defenseman or forward on the Canucks, who allows you to have that much of the puck. He's your only chance to have that much of the puck, so you're going to have to amp his minutes up significantly in this series, I think, to have a chance. The other guy, obviously, and you know, look, it's no surprise here, it's the star players, but I was making this point, like, what an opportunity for JT Miller. If he's going up against Connor McDavid, and I'm not saying, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that JT Miller is going to successfully shut down Connor McDavid. Well, I'm not sure anyone can do that.
You're getting one of McDavid or Draisaitl.
But And I would go with Miller versus McDavid
yeah.
and Lindholm Dreisaitl. That would be my first instinct. We'll see what Rick Tocchet chooses to do. But I mean, what a special opportunity for JT Miller, right? Like, isn't that why he wants to, what you want to do? You want to compete against the best. This is the very best on a big stage. You have a chance to do something really, really special that Canucks fans will remember for a long time going up against him.
Miller has changed a lot of narratives around him in the last 12 yeah. months. There were those that did not think he could play the position center and do it well at both ends of the rink. He's done it for large stretches of this season. Is he perfect? By no means. But he's done it very effectively and has taken a lot of the toughest matchups all season long, away from Elias Pettersson, away from Teddy Bluger. All of these things, like, this is Miller's biggest moment. You know, he
yep.
provided in Nashville, and now he's got another chance to do it here. I don't know if I expect him to, you know, be the highest scoring player in the series. You know, I still think it's, like, McDavid and Draisaitl, you look at their playoff points, like, it's very hard to shut these guys down.
It's outrageous.
But it hasn't got them any hardware just yet. So you can beat them even when they are going off. But, you know, keeping those guys at bay, if it's a job that Miller's got to do, I think he does it well. And the way that that line plays, Suter, Miller, Besser, I mean, they've been really good all mm-hmm. season long. I know Drance has been on that train for a large stretch of the year, but
Pugh Suter's number one fan, man.
It is the most, like, I don't think you could have two more opposite personalities than Pugh Suter and JT Miller.
Oh, they need the balance. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Although even Pugh's was getting pretty frustrated.
Yes.
I love JT. He's like, I love when guys are breaking sticks. Yeah.
I love... No, one of the most underrated parts of the opening series is when JT almost knocked Pugh Suter out with just like the hardest punch to the chest you could possibly imagine. He just like missed a pure haymaker onto his jawline. It was like, geez, JT, calm the emotions down.
No, man, that's how he plays on the edge.
And then, you know, Pugh Suter has just been a hardened vet ever since, you know, eating soft foods and scoring winning goals in game six to end a series. It's just unbelievable.
Oh, what a moment. All right, Reach, appreciate it, man. We have so much time to preview this series. What are you guys doing on Canucks Central today?
We'll be previewing the series.
More in-depth breakdowns of the Canucks and the Oilers, man. We are going to...
Yeah.
The anticipation for this one is going to be off the charts.
We're going to continue to break it down. We'll also finally give our predictions on the series as is, you know, necessary ahead of these kinds of times.
And, mm-hmm.
you know, start to really hone in on the things that just absolutely have to happen for the Canucks in order for them to win this series. Another way of looking at their pathways to victory over Edmonton.
You should do just a complete heel turn and pick the Oilers in four. spend all of his time hyping up the Canucks. Then, yeah, no, never mind.
I feel like the Oilers have been tremendously overhyped going into this series.
All right.
Like, they're not that good at 5-on-5. They give up 12 goals at 5-on-5 to the LA Kings. In three games, if you really want to look at it that way, because they shut them out in one of them.
That's true.
So there's holes on this Oilers team. It's up to the Canucks to exploit them.
That's Dan Riccio. You can hear him on Canucks Central with Satyar Shah coming up at 4 on the station. Canucks playoff coverage is brought to you by Threadco Print Shop. It's the Lower Mainland's choice for exceptional branded apparel, quality screen printing, and embroidery crafted in their new state-of-the-art facility, ThreadcoPrint.com. We'll take a break. Drancer joins me for the whiteboard on the other side here on Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650.